I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about covenant versus feelings. Covenant versus feelings. I once had this time. It was actually on the Day of Atonement several years ago. And I heard this come through to me where God was speaking. And he said, since you loved when you didn't feel like loving, you're ready for covenant. Since you loved when you didn't feel like loving, you're ready for covenant. When you didn't feel it, but you chose to do it anyway, you're ready for covenant. As part of understanding, I believe, this new covenant. In the book of Jeremiah, I forget the exact reference, it says that God's going to make this new covenant with us, that he's only going to do good continually. He's only going to do good for us continually, which is what? It's a covenant commitment. He's making this covenant commitment, says, you know what? I'm only going to give you my grace. I'm only going to do good for you continually. Now, I'm sure there are times, I know I've done it, where we've pushed God's buttons. We've done some things that he doesn't like, he doesn't approve of. But yet he keeps doing good for us all the time. He's made this covenant commitment. In the Old Testament, they use this word steadfast love, which means hesed in the Hebrew. And it's this idea of this covenant commitment to loving kindness. He's just never going to stop doing good for us. And he's made this covenant commitment. Now, part of our role in this new covenant is learning to do the same. Because sometimes our feelings get in the way. Oh, I'm not going to do that for them because they did that to me. I'm not going to do something nice for them because they said that to me or did that to me or pushed my buttons or annoyed me or who knows what it was. And we let our feelings get in the way of doing good. And when we make this covenant commitment to just do good continually, to do good all the time, it actually puts us in control. It's this interesting thing that I've learned. It actually puts us into control. Why? Because now nothing that anybody else does can cause me to change, can cause me to change my behavior, to break that covenant commitment, to just do good. But sometimes we get offended. Sometimes our feelings get in the way. Sometimes we just don't feel like doing it. Don't feel like other people deserve us to do good for them, whatever it may be. We're going to make this covenant commitment to just do good. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir that sacrifice of Jesus into our remembrance and to make it active and relevant and alive today, right now, in this present moment. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26, that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. I was just reading in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, last night. It says, you know, in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. All those benefits are there waiting. Think about it. Somebody has a will. It's just sitting in the will, and nothing happens with it until the death is proven. It's proving the death or proclaiming the death that activates all of the benefits and sets things in motion. So every time we take communion, it's like an activation, where we're setting into motion all these benefits of the new covenant. It's a reminder for us that God's made this covenant commitment. He's never going to stop doing good. And it's a reminder for us of our part in that, to give other people the same grace and love and goodness that God has given us. Jesus says, love each other like I've loved you. To take the way that what he's done for us, that covenant commitment of love, even when he maybe didn't feel like it, when we weren't deserving of it, he still did it anyway. It's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to stir them into our remembrance, and to combine it with something practical and physical in the cracker and juice that we can release our faith into. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every day to take it with the fear of the Lord, just that deep honor and respect and reverence for God, with great gratitude and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that God and Jesus were willing to do to connect us back together with them. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. Then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and die early because they don't examine themselves or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout advice as a way to practically apply our faith, learning how to exercise our faith. Physical exercise can teach us how to do that. And once we understand how to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us in our exercise, we can apply it into every other area of our lives as well. So let's get into our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities and make the most of them. Keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master, because really we got to have this balance of an eternal perspective with God. An eternal perspective with God, but that perspective, that eternal perspective, has got to be brought down into today. Our relationship with God has got to impact today. It's got to be evident in the way we go about our day today, in our decision making, in our actions, in our words, in the things that we do today. It's got to have some fruit today. That's where we talk about our four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into today, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. We talk about a covenant commitment. God has released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light, but we got to take our position in it. We got to receive it from him, and we got to take our position in it, and it has to happen every single day. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. To take our position in the light, we're going to take our position in humility today. We're going to humble ourselves, because it's the humble that are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive that grace and forgiveness from him. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with ourselves. And we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with others. We're going to keep that covenant commitment, just like God has done for us. We're going to do good for others continually. And a lot of this is learning how to put off our old ways. When those buttons get pushed in our life that make us want to get into the feeling and want to retaliate, want to withdraw our presence, want to avoid people, give them the silent treatment, we stop doing good because something that somebody else did, or we get under pressure, or who knows what it may be. We're going to take our position in love, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the easiest ways to just keep our positioning all day long, stay positioned in gratitude and praise. It'll keep you in faith. It'll keep you positioned. And when we take our position in the light, God has made this covenant commitment. He's taken everything that he had and he gave it all to Jesus. He put it all in Christ and we get to be in him today. And he will not change that. He's made a covenant commitment to it. He will not change it. A blood covenant, a blood sworn oath. He will not change it. He put it all in Christ and it's all available. We get to be in him today. We're going to take our position in the light. We have access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his kingdom, his health, his finances, his energy. We become part of his family. Everything he has, he put it all in Christ. And then we're going to start to magnify that light because Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more and more of all these good things through us. It also gets it rooted and established in our hearts so that we become more fixed and established and consistent. We got to get this new covenant established in our hearts where we're going to do good continually. We got to get that established in there, understanding that God's doing that for us, and then it's got to carry through where we begin to imitate him in this. And just magnification. So how do we do that? It's all about what we're focused on. Where's our focus and attention? What are we meditating on? When I think of meditation, what are the things that I'm doing repeatedly over and over and over, rolling it over and over again in my mind or heart, whatever it may be? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love. We can meditate on these things, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. Can meditate on our right standing in Christ. We're right with God because of what Jesus did. We got his blessing, his favor. We got peace with God today. Can meditate on every good thing that he put within us and stay focused on whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. Looking back at how far God has already brought us, all that he's already done in our lives, to meditate and to magnify these things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light and to magnify God as bigger than those problems, because he is. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness and unforgiveness, letting our feelings drive everything, magnifying the size of the issues and the problems rather than the size of God. Trying to figure it all out ourselves, doing life on our own without God rather than resting and trusting in him. That's where we got to recognize the symptoms. And when we're positioned in darkness, we're magnifying darkness. There might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to withhold good things that we know to do, to avoid them, give them the silent treatment. Then on the inside, you'll feel this weight and heaviness and pressure. You might feel hopeless, helplessness, powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future. There's confusion. You get stuck in these vicious cycles and bad patterns. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. And the more we magnify it, the more it begins to grow. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless because we're resting and God's doing the work. And we've got now his spirit and his power and his peace and his joy and his energy. His mind and wisdom all just begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. He just begins to effortlessly set us free and break us free. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. What does he do? He's made this covenant commitment that if we recognize we're off track, he'll give us grace. If we just turn around, if we miss it, let's say we don't keep our own covenant commitment. He's unchanging in his. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get our position, we lose our position, or we lose our focus and attention, and we miss it. And he never changes. If we recognize that, we learn to recognize those symptoms and turn it back. It just takes a moment to turn it right back. That grace will never change. It'll be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It'll be there waiting for us to step into every single day. It will never change. And just learning to recognize that, because he will not break his covenant commitment. If we break ours, there's grace and forgiveness from him. We can turn it right back around. We can get right back in again. How do we do it? We humble ourselves, because the humble get grace. Father, forgive me. I missed it. You receive that grace and forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. We walk in forgiveness with other people. Then just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and that he's more than enough. And you'll feel the shift on the inside. You'll feel it instantly. The weight will lift off you. Your energy levels will rise up. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to flow through you again. It's an amazing gift. And we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day in his grace, he's made this covenant commitment to do good. He's trying to teach us and train us and lead us along the best path for our lives. But we get to make the choice whether we want to tune into that and follow him or not. He gives us the free will. So my favorite way to stay tuned into him is with a journal. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? And then I like to examine myself. How was my positioning and my focus throughout the day? Is there any areas where I got off track? Because it's good to examine ourselves consistently, to know ourselves. Is there any areas where I didn't keep this covenant today? Bringing those areas to God, receiving that grace and forgiveness. And then I like to ask this question. God, what were you trying to show me today? What were you trying to show me? And just get still and listen for a few minutes, and whatever comes into my mind, just write it down. Then we got to stay plugged in and tuned in to him throughout the day, because he's trying to lead us and guide us along the path today. You ever feel like you're losing that connection? Just slow down for a minute or two. It doesn't take long. Just get plugged back into him. Then the last thing I like to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day. And what I've learned to do is to stick with what I know to do. Sometimes I learned I was getting ahead of God, because I was taking action on things that I wasn't sure of just yet, wasn't certain of. I was asking God, but then I wasn't giving him time to show me. Then on the other side, there were times when I knew what to do, but I was procrastinating. And so I've learned to stick with this. What do I know to do today? And I begin to write out the to-do list. It's usually a list of 3 to 10 things for the day. What do I know to do today? On the to-do list, things on my conscience, things I've been procrastinating on, anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do. Make out the plan, and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to wake up, we're going to get connected to him, start magnifying him, and then we're going to walk out that plan together with him today. With a willing heart, with a good attitude, and full confidence in him. He's right there with us to help us and guide us all throughout the day. And as we do this, you get to that place of that confident faith. All the doubts are removed. That grace just begins to flow through you. It begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So covenant versus feelings. Pretty simple concept, a little more challenging to walk out in everyday life. God has made this covenant commitment to give us his, we call it in the Hebrew, it's hesed, his steadfast love. It'll never change. He's going to do good for us continually. Now, sometimes that good doesn't look like we expect because he's a father and he's disciplining us and training us and guiding us. But he's made the covenant commitment to only do good for us continually. We're taking communion over this today, asking for his help to become more like him. So first of all, Father, we're just so thankful for this new covenant. I just think back to the old covenant. There were times when the people were cursed, when you were against them. And that's a terrible thing. We're just so grateful and appreciative for this new covenant. We can have you in our lives, as you are with us and for us. We're right with you because of what Jesus did. And that you've made this covenant commitment to only do good for us all the time. And I just thank you for that. And we're asking for your help, for this new covenant to be more established in our hearts, to become more like you in this, where we stick to our commitments, we stick to this covenant to do good for other people, to do good continually, just like you've done for us. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it. Receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice." Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. This bread is an opportunity to remember. Remember this covenant. He's doing good for us continually. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. And I believe as you experience him just doing good for you continually, it just helps you to know him, to know his heart and his grace and his love that much more. That's what it's all about. So, Father, we thank you for this juice, this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. So one of the best ways to practice this covenant commitments, physical exercise. One of the greatest ways to practice applying our faith and to practice walking this out, sticking to our commitments. God paid a great price for our bodies. Let's begin to honor him with our bodies consistently day by day. Let's do good for our bodies. Make it this covenant commitment to build up this temple that he's given us every day, to work on it every day, to connect with him through physical exercise. And when you get a busy schedule, you got adversities where it makes it hard to stick with your workouts, what can you do? Can you do something every day? You stick to this commitment. I'm going to do something good for my physical body today. And keeping that commitment consistently over time. If you miss it, what do? You get right back on track. There's that grace to get right back on track. But we want to learn to become more like God in this, where we stick to our commitments to it. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.